Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back this week to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We're coming to you from downtown Visalia, from the Visalia Chamber of Commerce. We're going to look this week at the homelessness problem that's all over the state of California, and I think a lot of people believe that they see Los Angeles, San Francisco, they see the pictures, the tourist areas, but they don't realize that this problem has really spread all over California, including into the San Joaquin Valley. So the Visalia Chamber of Commerce is hosting us this morning. The president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce is here. Her name is Gail Zurich. Thank you for being here, Gail.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for addressing this issue.
Absolutely. And we're going to look a little bit into what's happening with the businesses in Visalia. And then we also have the former mayor, current vice mayor, good friend of mine, Steve Nelson, a longtime Visalia city resident, and has been really focused on this homeless problem, both at the city level and the county level, trying to come up with solutions. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. For being here. Appreciate the opportunity.
So I just have my Starbucks coffee in my hand right here, and was just in Starbucks a little bit ago and had my three little girls with me. They were amazed by, there were two homeless people sitting in there, and then one homeless person comes in, walks through, goes to the bathroom, comes out, they give a free water to the homeless person. And then I think I saw it's only like five blocks away from here, and then I probably saw four or five more on the way over. And we're in downtown Visalia, city of 140,000 people roughly, sits right in the middle of the San Joaquin Valley. So Steve, what's going on?
Well, as you mentioned, it's throughout the state, and California is the number one state for homelessness in the country. The city of Visalia, our population, they do a real-time survey in January and February. And the last population study they did where they go out and search for folks was 480. And then they have this formula you multiply by three. So based on the survey, it says our population is 1,440 people.
I think it's 1,440 homeless people in the city of Visalia, right? That has 138,000,
right,
people.
So when you look at that, Devin, what people don't realize, I use a number of 1,500. That's about 1% of our population. But yet the city of Visalia spends 3% of their budget on the homeless issue. And that's police, code enforcement, solid waste, just cleaning up camps and stuff like that. So it's a disproportionate, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal ruling didn't help us, where they said if you don't have a low barrier shelter to house the homeless folks, then they're allowed to basically sleep in your parks, any public property. So that took away a tool that we could utilize to get people moving on. So it didn't help the situation.
I mean, you'll go around Visalia and you'll see 20, 30, 40 kind of randomly in the whatever, you know, kind of three blocks by eight block range that we're in today. But then you'll go out to different parts of the city and you'll see encampments.
You know what I think is interesting? I reached out to businesses to say, how is homelessness impacting you and your business? I expected everybody downtown to say that they have the majority of the problem because that's where tourists are. That's where people are giving money. Folks out on Ben Maddox, people in our industrial park, folks in our regional retail area have said, we have the issue. No, we have an issue. So it's really not just downtown. It's throughout our community that businesses are facing this. And homeless don't just locate to one particular area.
And so people, the listeners understand this because we have, you know, listeners from all over the country. You'll go to like different parts of Visalia. I know I was just south of downtown, maybe a couple miles, and then you'll see along the Santa Fe Trail. And I must have saw maybe, I don't want to exaggerate, but it seemed like it was 30, 40, or 50 tents along there. So what are they doing out there? Like, what do you do as a city council? Like,
the city council just passed an ordinance concerning our parks, and it's the first step moving forward. And what we're doing is we're going to the line in the sand that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal put in. And so we have our second reading this coming Monday night, which will give us tools to move people out of the parks and requirement of can't put tents up and stuff like that. I think I want to address one thing real quick, Devin. People use the term homelessness. These people, yes, they don't have a home, but it's not a homelessness problem. What it is a drug addiction problem. It's an alcohol addiction problem. Probably in the scheme of things in our different police officers, they do multiple touches with these people. Probably argument's sake, 10% will seek help. The rest just want to be left alone. It's because their brains are fried on drugs and so forth. That's what we need to address. We need to address the mental aspect and the drug aspect. And then the small minority, I always challenge people. I do a lot of talks on homelessness. I always challenge them. If you find me a person that through misfortune is homeless, but they want to get off the street, they want to get a job, I challenge them. Give me a call. I'll find the person a job. I'll find the person a place for the person to stay. No one yet has come forth and offered to anybody.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is 40 or 50 years ago, we all knew who the homeless guy was, right? It's like Joe down the street. We know what his issues
are. Well, it's like your old-fashioned hobo, like
right,
the guy
exactly, right.
The train.
The issue exactly. now is we have 100 Joes, and they all have 100 different issues. And so, you know, businesses, one of the things they talk to me is, I have a heart for folks. I want to help people in need. But everybody who comes through my door is different, and their needs are different. And I'm just so tired because, you know, it's difficult enough to keep a business open in California. And now the cost of doing business is even more expensive because I have workers who, when they put the trash out at night, they're a teenager and it's intimidating when somebody's in your trash area and it scares them. Or I have to move people in the morning when they're sleeping on my doorstep. It's tough.
Right here, right
You're
where
right.
we're standing.
Yeah.
And right here at this door.
Yeah, literally I woke people up to be able to get in the office in the morning.
So I live in Tulare, which is, you know, just a few miles south of Visalia. And across from where I lived, there are people, right? And so right across the street, there's a church. And the church for a while was letting them be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started with like two people. And then pretty soon, I don't know, it maybe swelled up to about a dozen. You know, and I would have interactions with them because, like, you know, one guy who was like, 45 years old, he would ride his BMX bike around.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no evidence of them doing drugs. But clearly they had done something in their lifetime because their minds were no, it was almost like they were, their minds were gone.
You know, I think that there's a lot of different needs that people have. Mental illness is one of those things that runs deep and is a major issue as we've talked with providers. You know, sometimes people are self-medicating and the way that they go about doing it is that way. To Steve's point, there are some people who just really like to live off the grid. In my mind, that's the old Joes, right? The old hobo Joes that just kind of wanted to do their own thing. It's a really complex problem.
I think Devin, too, is that people, because of the stress of daily life, there was a lady that lived at the St. John's River, and she lived there, but she had a full-time job. And she had a gym membership. So she'd get up in the morning, she'd go to the gym, clean up, go to work, and then come back. I don't know if that's mental or if that's just the stress of daily life she didn't want to deal with. We've taken a gentleman and put him in transitional housing in an apartment. 2 weeks later, they couldn't find him in the apartment. And about 4 weeks later, they found him back on the streets. And they said, well, we put you in a house. And he goes, I can't be confined in four walls. I don't know if that's mental or not. I just think there's, as Gail put, there's a lot of different needs. And I think what's happened is the state took away a tool of putting these people in mental institutions to get them their help. So that was done away with during the Reagan era because of budget cuts. Then all the tools that the police could use to help with the program, they've been taken away. So what we have to figure out is how do you solve, you can't solve homelessness, but how do we get the needs to them? Because you can't force a homeless person to go to a shelter. You can't force a homeless person to seek help. You can only offer. So our officers offer all the time. They don't want to partake. And an illustration is I got a call from the police and during they were doing a cleanup. And I went to Rec Park, and they're cleaning up the park area. And they go look at this tent on the very end, because they hadn't started at that tent. So I said, okay. So I walked down, and I look inside. And it was enough to turn your stomach. I mean, it was bad. So I reached out and said, why don't we utilize the tool of the health department with these camps? Because you've already heard in L.A. typhoid, hepatitis outbreaks, and so forth and so on. And then I'm told, well, it's not under their purview. So does that tell me then, well, the health department will get involved when we have a health crisis? Instead of being proactive,
so you've
been on, wait.
You've been on some of these cleanups, right?
Yes.
So you've told me some of these stories. So why don't you share? I mean, they're really disgusting. You may want to turn the podcast off right now if you don't want to be disgusted. But share with me share with our audience some of these stories when you went on your last cleanup.
Well, I mean, you look inside, it's total filth. I mean, there's some stuff in there you just don't want to talk about. I personally would not even go inside the tent. I just stayed outside. They said, hey, go in and look around. And I go, oh, not me. But, I mean, you hear that story. You hear the stories when I was up at St. John's one time. These folks, again, it's a mental issue. What we consider as trash and garbage, that's their personal belongings. So when you hear we clean up to St. John's and they're dumping tons of trash.
And just for our listeners, St. John's is a river that is on the north side of Visalia.
Right. I mean, the cleanup is unbelievable. And then when we take and confiscate people's belongings, we have to hold it for 60 days and they're taken out to our courtyard and put in a sea train. Well, now they're finding the sea train is infested with fleas and whatever else is in there. And they're now trying to figure that out. So,
okay, that's really disgusting.
And so when you talk about a low barrier bed shelter, you're going to allow people to come in the shelter at about 8 o'clock at night, and then they leave at 6 in the morning, normally how they work. Well, then you have to have a crew come in and completely sanitize that facility. I mean, we're talking completely sanitize. That's how bad it is.
Ugh. So, Gail, give us some of your real-life stories here, other than waking them up here on the front of your office.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that businesses is really struggling with is, you know, they want to have a heart. They care for these folks. But at the same time, if my customers drive up to my business and there's somebody sitting on an outside patio that looks dirty, or maybe that they're aggressive, or, you know, looks like they might be different than what they see, customers won't come in. So we have great conversations with businesses who say, I care about these people. I do want to offer them water like Starbucks has. But what I found is once I do that, then one guy turns into five guys. And now they're all sitting at a table outside of my restaurant and they smell. And again, of sort of, you know, if you're in our beautiful San Joaquin in the summer, it's, you know, 125, and I'm joking, but people don't
105.
Yeah, and people don't necessarily smell great when they have been living outside. And so me going into a raw fish bar with guys who are sitting outside and smell like human excrement and who need to take a shower, it's not the most appetizing for my customers. And so they really struggle with, how do I get them to move on? Because by the time, I don't want to call the police. This isn't something I want to use public resources for. But at the same time, my customers aren't coming in during lunch because these guys are sitting outside and it's preventing my business from getting more customers.
So just to kind of bring this full circle here, you know, people hear about Los Angeles and San Francisco and you know, the bubonic plague coming back and all of that. I think you have to be really concerned about these people that are coming in. You know, they're, like you said, they smell. I mean, are they sick? I mean, what are we going to do about
it? What you hear about up in San Francisco and in Los Angeles is it's a housing issue. And so we need to reduce rent. We need to have rent control. And it's because housing is so expensive.
But it's not. That's not
the issue. And it's not the issue here. It's certainly not the issue here because housing is affordable. One of the most affordable places in the state. We're a beautiful place. People should come and open a business here. It's a great place to raise your family. So it's not as if we're so expensive that folks can't find a place to live. They can't find an apartment. That's really not the issue.
Right.
And so for many people who say it's a housing first issue, they just need a house. No, there's so much more need that they have. And quite frankly, the bureaucracy and the policies that have been put in place, as Steve said, decades ago, have now come to roost here. And it's, in my opinion, been on the backs of businesses as they're trying to keep their doors open. And it's very hard because they want to solve this issue, but they just keep coming at it with Band-Aids to try and just keep their doors open.
I think one of the things, Devin, is that, you know, they talk about affordable housing, and we are probably the most affordable place to live in the state of California. But with the new rules and regs coming out of Sacramento, there's no such thing anymore as affordable housing. As they keep putting on sprinkler systems, you now have to have solar. And now they're trying to pass a bill that makes every house electric, no longer natural gas.
Yeah. Right,
and
right.
Then they're even talking about having to retrofit your own current house. But as they keep tacking things on, affordable housing is not affordable. The only way it becomes affordable is through subsidies. And again, it's a state mandate, you know, a state mandate.
But as Gail said, and from my interaction with the people that were by my house, I mean, there's no way those people could even know what to even do with a house.
No,
yeah,
so
that's
we
not
have,
the housing is not the issue.
It's not the issue. The issue is mental. The issue is the drug aspect. The issue is earlier release of prisoners now, which makes it more of a police matter. I tell people, I've been on this journey with homelessness for the last 10 years. And in the current, when I started the program, you could go up to a homeless person and say, hey, you need to move along. And they'd apologize 15 times while they're picking up their stuff. I'm sorry. they didn't want to have any hassles. Mm-hmm. Today, I tell people, if you're going to talk to a homeless person, make sure you keep your distance and make sure there's someone else with you because they're more volatile. And I think the one thing that we've never addressed in the homeless issue is the young people. And it's because the family contingent, that network of family, is no longer existent. And so what happens is when you can't deal with your young adult, high school age or young college age, they used to rally around and take care of them. Now they kick them out of the house. And an illustration is there's a lady up in the Modesto area, I think it was Modesto or Madera, living on the by the freeway. Caltrans went in and was doing a cleanup. They didn't see her underneath the boxes or anything. And basically, they killed her. The tractor ran over. She actually had a family in the area. They disowned her. They didn't want nothing to do with her. But now the family's suing Caltrans because now it's a money grab.
Well, you know,
and that's a breakdown in the family dynamic.
I would tell you I have business owners who have family members who are homeless, and what they say is there isn't enough services. And so I love my sister. I think she's amazing. But there aren't services from a mental health perspective or from a substance abuse perspective that would help her with some of the larger issues that she has. And we love her and we've invited her into our family at times. But for the safety and to be able to maintain our nuclear family, we can't allow her anymore into our family. She can't keep our rules. She can't do those things. But I'm heartbroken because there isn't a mental health facility that I can send her to for her to get those services.
And you're talking to one of our
chamber members. Yeah. That's the conversation that they have. And they're embarrassed by it because who wants to say that? But by the same token, our business members care deeply about these folks. And these are real people with real issues. But it's causing an issue on all fronts.
Well, I want to thank Steve and Gail. Thank you for all that you're doing on this problem. I really appreciate you getting this message out to our listeners because I think people need to know that this is really an epidemic all over the state of California. With that, we will catch you next week on the Devin Nunes Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. As we the people free and strong, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.